So I'd like to shift the conversation to a discussion of biologics and therapy of colorectal cancer. And I thought maybe we could start out talking about EGFR inhibitors, panitumumab, cetuximab. From your point of view, what are some of the things that have happened over, let's say, the last year in that whole arena that you think are most important for docs in practice to know about?
There are several aspects that are very important for physicians in clinical practice. What we have seen is that the EGFR antibodies, cetuximab and panitumumab, that they are active in chemorefractory metastatic colorectal cancer. There is clearly an impact in this setting, but probably one of the most important advances in regard to this topic and in regard to the management of colorectal cancer is that we have learned that the activity is confined to the wild-type KRAS patients. There are now data published in literature in this group of patients, so in chemorefractory patients, from more than 800 patients, coming from different studies that tell us that when a patient has a KRAS mutant status, that there is virtually no chance of having any benefit from panitumumab or cetuximab. That does not mean that all patients with a non-mutated or wild-type KRAS tumor will respond, but the activity is confined to the wild-type KRAS tumor. So, and that's important because that will help physicians to tailor their treatment better. That will help us to avoid to treat any patients in whom we know that there will be no benefit with cetuximab or panitumumab because they have a KRAS mutant tumor. So we will not treat these patients. We will not expose them to treatment with panitumumab or cetuximab. I do think that's very important. And also at this meeting, at this GI Cancer Symposium meeting, we have seen data from different studies in chemorefractory patients. Whether this holds also true in the first-line setting, that's not yet clear. We don't have yet any data from large trials in the first-line setting that report on benefit and the difference in wild-type versus mutant tumors. So,
do you think we're going to have that? I mean, you have your study. Are you looking at it there?
Yes, we will report on this in the near future. We plan to report on that at ASCO. We have submitted an abstract for ASCO.
And overall, roughly what fraction of colorectal cancers are KRAS mutant?
Approximately 40% of all tumors are KRAS mutant and 60% of all tumors are wild-type KRAS.
Now, is there a commercially available assay for this that a clinician can order it?
The methodology is not easy, but it can be done. There are several commercially available tests available. The most used test and the best test is based on a PCR test. There are some aspects on quality control, quality assurance, so not all labs will be able to do it, so there will be a small learning curve also. But that's like with HER2 testing in patients with breast cancer. Once we show that we can select a patient for response or resistance, like with trastuzumab in breast cancer, physicians and the labs will organize themselves because the difference is big. If you look, for instance, and again speaking in the wild-type chemorefractory patients, if you look at the response rate with panitumumab single agent, in all patients is 10%. In patients with a KRAS mutant tumor, there were no responses. In patients with a wild-type KRAS, the response rate was 17%. So the difference is high. If you look at the combination cetuximab irinotecan, also, if you look at the initial reported BOND study, the response rate in irinotecan refractory patients treated with irinotecan plus cetuximab was 23%. If you look at the different studies, retrospective analysis, but they are very consistent in all different studies, the response rate in the wild-type KRAS tumors after treatment with cetuximab plus irinotecan is in the order of 30 to 40%. So that's already consistent, and we're speaking of a population in chemorefractory, so we can really enrich the population.
Although, again, from a practical point of view of a clinician, it doesn't sound like it's that clear that the, you know, so the laboratory reliability, et cetera, is kind of set right now that you can make a decision on it?
I do think that the laboratory setting is that labs that do the testing and that have all the process in place, and that's not limited to a selected number of academic centers. That's not the case. There are more difficult tests.
So you think it's reasonable to actually do the test now?
Yes. And if you look even in Europe, EMEA, the equivalent of FDA, has granted approval for panitumab only to the patients with a wild-type KRAS tumor. So, and in Europe, we have to stick more to the label. In Europe, we will not be able to prescribe panitumab to a patient with a RAS-mutated tumor, so we have to test it.
So, for example, for an oncologist in the United States right now, is there a lab or a website that you say, I think these people do the test reliably?
I can't answer.
You think there are some?
There are some, yes. If I'm speaking with my U.S. colleagues, I hear that, and that's for the last 3 to 6 months, that everybody is organizing themselves, and that they tell me that within somewhere this year, most of the places will be organized, that if they don't do the test in their own place, that they can find a lab where they can send the test to. And we will have to do it. It's not only economically, but also for the patient benefit. It's much better to do it.